It's Monday morning. I start walking to a dig site where me and my crew of fellow archaeologists set up the day before. My name's Tommy Oliver. Some time has passed. I'm a bit older now. I've got a nice fancy beard. I got this nasty scar on my left eye. But I'm happy. I have a life now. Anyway, I'm the first one to arrive almost 2 hours early. I start setting up my things. I sip my coffee again and walk towards my work area. Whew! I really should have gotten decaf. My heart is pounding. I approach my desk and start setting the rest of my stuff down, including my jacket, briefcase, and my cell phone. I put my gear on and get to work.
Wow. This thing is beautiful. I've never seen a fossil like this before.
I scrape away at the formation in front of me, diligently. I scrape until I notice a shiny black material starting to surface from the erosion. I continue to chisel away.
What the hell? Looks kind of like obsidian. But it's so dense. Looks kind of alien.
I examine it a little closer. As I do, I start to feel a burning sensation on my thumb. Shocked from the sting, I throw it away from me.
Ah, shit! That hurt.
Probably just nicked myself on a corner or something. I think I've got some band-aids in here. Ah, yeah, there they are. I wrap up my thumb and continue digging. My teammates start showing up one by one for the workday. Connor McKnight walks down the halls of Reefside Community College to the cafeteria to get some lunch. He approaches the line and grabs a tray. Moments later, his best friend Ethan James comes up behind him and also grabs a tray.
Hey, bro! Oh man, it's Nugget Day for Archaeology Week! I've been waiting for this day for such a long time, man. Oh, you have no idea.
Ethan is visibly enamored by the display of chicken nuggets on the buffet in front of him. He spaces out in awe of the beautiful display. He then hears Connor's words fade into comprehension as Connor claps loudly in his face.
Ethan, snap out of it, man. I just told you I got dumped, and now you're in a full-on nugget coma. Come on, man.
Sorry, bro. For real. What happened?
Jessica dumped me last night, man. She's flipped out because of a tiny joke. It wasn't even that deep. I mean, I did lock her out of the house.
What?
It wasn't for long, just an hour. It was supposed to be funny. God forbid she'd take a joke. She ended up kicking her door down and...
Her door? You were at her house? Dude!
All right, fine. I get why she's mad, okay? I just didn't think she'd dump me. Me, Connor McKnight.
Look, man. Gotta be honest, sometimes you cross the line. I'm saying this as your friend.
Ethan puts his hand on Connor's shoulder.
You play too much. You have to start taking things seriously, bro. Not all relationships are like ours. I've known you since we were like 5. Girls don't play like that.
Connor is taken aback by Ethan's statement and sheepishly gestures.
I do not play too much. I can be serious. My theater arts professor said I had a stoic air about me.
Well, you better get serious quick, man, because we got a new professor for third period tomorrow.
I know. Mr. Salazar was so cool. I wish he wasn't transferring to Mariner Bay. Lame.
Same. Well, we'll see how this new guy is. Are you gonna eat your nuggets?
On the other side of the lunchroom, a young girl approaches a lunch table with her headphones in her ears, and the music she's listening to is very, very loud. She looks intimidating on the outside, wearing a very 90s punk-inspired outfit, and a look in her eye that could kill. But on the inside, she's scared. She's sad. Her name is Kira Ford, and she just wants to go home. She continues picking at her lunch, ever so disinterested. Until minutes later, she is accompanied by a boy. He has dark, medium-length hair and is very well-kept. He sits next to her, staring at her with a smile on his face, hoping she'll engage him. She takes out one earbud and says,
"Can I help you?"
"Hey, I'm Trent. I saw you sitting here by yourself and thought I'd join you."
"Is this your first day or something?"
"Actually, yeah."
Kira, while wanting to be rude, composes herself and takes her other earbud out.
"Well, welcome to Reefside. We're just Angel Grove, but crappier."
I don't think it's that bad here. I'm actually a transfer student from Hawaii."
"Hawaii? Why did you move to this dump?"
"Well, once I graduate high school, I want to check out the East Coast. Ever since I was a kid, like really little, I've always wanted to check out the infamous Battleground Memorial of Old Chicago. Also, I heard the school was getting a pretty cool new geology professor this year."
"Oh yeah, I was really small when that happened too. My mom lived there for a bit, but luckily she moved out before all that stuff happened."
"Yeah, I remember watching the stories on TV, all the documentaries and stuff. Those Power Ranger guys were crazy. Sucks that any real footage of the attack is either buried under concrete or too shaky to make anything out."
"Just like those Bigfoot sightings, right?"
"I guess."
"So, who's the new geo professor? I have him next period, and it's Professor Salazar's last day. I can't believe he's transferring schools. He's actually a decent dude."
"So get this. You remember that guy who was cloned against his will? The Green Power dude. You know, he was all crazy and then he changed sides and stuff."
"The Green Ranger is gonna be our new geology professor?"
"No, not the Green Ranger. He died. No, the guy that weird alien lady cloned. Her prisoner?"
Kira looks at Trent very confused.
"Why is having a former prisoner for a teacher so cool to you?"
"Because he looks like the Green Ranger."
Kira rolls her eyes at this.
"But also, he's well known for his expeditions. He's like a modern-day Indiana Jones. Did you know he was the one that found those brachiosaurus bones that are displayed in the middle of the museum downtown?"
"Cool. We're gonna have a cartoon for a teacher."
"Nah, not a cartoon. Indiana Jones!"
At this, Kira gets up and gathers her things. She says patronizingly, yet nicely,
"I'll see you around, new kid."
"Oh. Oh, okay. See you around, I guess. Way to go, Trent. Scared this one off, too."
Trent plants his head into his hands and murmurs,
"I am destined to be alone."
It's nighttime. I pull up to my driveway in my black Jeep. I get out of the car, gather my things, and head inside. Once I get through the front door, I set down my stuff, put my cell phone on the counter, and approach the couch where my partner, Catherine Hillard, is watching the news. I kiss her on the forehead. "Hey, how was work today?"
"I actually had a client today that reminded me of Billy."
"Cranston? Oh man, I haven't talked to him in ages. How did that go?"
"It went well. He just looked so much like him. Smart kid too, he just needs to figure out how to balance things."
"That sounds like Billy, too. He also wear those big, dorky glasses he had." I turn around to see Kat looking shocked at what's being said on the news. My heart immediately drops into my stomach.
"This is Jonathan Cornell, Action News 7. The Pentagon has received a transmission from just outside our solar system. This was sent to one of the military bases in southern Arizona. We'll play a clip for you now." "Our analysts say it doesn't seem to be any kind of language we've ever heard before, but they've aligned this transmission with altered weather patterns in the upper atmosphere, as well as unidentified flying objects entering and exiting the stratosphere. At the moment, we're unsure of the contents in this message, but the Pentagon has put the United States at DEFCON 3. They advise the public to prepare for another extraterrestrial encounter or attack. This is Jonathan Cornell, Action News 7, more at 11.
I share a grave look with Kat. I feel my pocket vibrate and heat up. But I see my phone is on the counter. So I look down to my left pants pocket and carefully pull the vibrating, glowing object out. It was the shiny black gem I had thrown away at work earlier.
"What the hell?" thought this was just a piece of obsidian. I chucked this.
The gem then shows a glowing thumbprint on it. It seems to have activated or something.
Tommy, what is that in your hand?
I stammer. I look around confused for a minute, unable to speak. Then, in an instant, I snap out of it. The stone had filled me in on what was happening, much like the intuition of my old power armor. The lost expression on my face now turns stoic, with a hint of worry.
Tommy, what's going on?
Do we still have the old Thundermorphers? The ones from back in the day?
They're in the attic, but, hun, those are just hunks of scrap. They need a power source to work.
I immediately rush into the hallway to pull down the attic ladder. I climb up and rummage through the boxes in the attic.
Tommy, are you gonna talk to me or keep running around like a maniac?
I come back down from the ladder with a dusty, alien-looking box. I open it and pull out one of the old Thundermorphers. I then reach for the glowing gem, taking it and putting it in the center of the old device. Nothing happens. I don't understand.
Tommy.
Then suddenly, the gem in the center of the morpher seems to melt and spread. It coats the entire wrist-mounted device in a black ooze, which then glows even brighter and morphs itself into an embossed gauntlet around my right arm, reforming its gem-like shape in the center. Black, scaly armor forms up my arm, across my chest, into a helmeted power armor that covers my body completely with a gold trim. I am a Power Ranger again.
Tommy, what the hell is going on?
I don't know, Kat! I was just testing out a theory and it worked, okay?
What happened at work today? What was that venom-looking thing that you just...
My helmet recedes from around my head in a symbiote-like fashion.
First, thank you for finally asking how my day was. And second, this is just as surprising to me as it is to you. I thought this thing was just a piece of obsidian I found at work today, but that's obviously not true. When I grabbed it, it nicked my thumb or something.
It nicked you?
Yeah. I kind of threw it away from me out of shock, but I do remember throwing this thing away. I didn't know it'd latch onto me somehow, and now, this.
Oh no, this can't be happening again. Tommy, please tell me you aren't a Power Ranger again. Green, white, red, how long is this going to go on for?
Kat walks over and slumps onto the couch in defeat. She stares blankly at the ceiling when I come over and sit down next to her. I think it is, Kat.
Can you power down or something? This is a new couch and I don't want it to collapse.
Kat, you saw the news. This rock started glowing and heating up when they broadcasted that transmission. Something's coming. Why now, I don't know. But the world doesn't have Zordon or any of the Rangers to protect it right now.
Tommy, I can't do this again. You can't do this again.
I'm not asking you to.
That part of our lives is over. It's why I do what I do now. Don't put any more people in the same position we were put in. It's not fair.
Kat, something is going to happen. And this world needs defenders. I know this all sounds crazy, but you remember how our suits worked. This thing is doing the same thing. I gotta do this. After that day with my brother and the Shadow Guys, I swore that I would never let this world fall apart because of me again.
You always think that the weight of the world has to fall on your shoulders. You...
Okay, not this argument again.
What about me? When are you going to start paying attention to what's right in front of you instead of the mission?
I am paying attention. We have this house. We have a car. We have a mortgage. A mortgage. We have a life here, Kat. That has always been...
What good is all of that when you're never here to share it with me? You're always focused on the task at hand, the job, the mission. This is the longest I've seen you all week, Tommy. Now you're a ranger again.
I am doing everything I can to give us a happy life. I work a lot, yes. I have a life too. But that's why I got this new teaching job, so maybe I won't have to be gone all the time. I didn't ask for this thing to find me. Hell, I'm still not sure what it is completely. But I know it chose me, and with our past, we can't take this stuff lightly. And now I... I have a job to do.
Well then, I don't know what else to say. I can't be around for this. I'm going to stay with my parents for a bit. Tommy, you need to figure out what's more important to you, your duty or your family, never mind.
Kat cuts herself short to spare my feelings.
Kat.
No, Tommy, don't drag me back into this, I can't.
She leaves the room to go pack her things. I sit on the couch staring at the wall, not knowing how to feel. I'm sad, frustrated, and really, really regretful. I stand up, walk to the front door to go outside and get some fresh air, ignoring my feelings. I exit the front door to sit outside on the porch when all of a sudden my new armor activates.
Whoa! What the hell? What's going on?
My suit had detected abnormal energy signatures within a 20-mile radius.
More stones? But...
The suit completely formed around me, the heads-up display and my visor showing a tracking map to the other power signatures. I see Kat through the window, packing her things. This is happening. I exhale out of frustration, look forward, and speed off into the night. In moments, I'm miles away from her, now physically and emotionally. I run into the night in search of the other stones. Connor McKnight and Ethan James are sitting in their seats in the back corner of the classroom, watching videos on their phones together while they wait for the class to start. Kira Ford enters the classroom. She shoots a glare at Connor and Ethan, namely Connor because he had stolen her seat. Kira wasn't exactly a social butterfly, which is why she begrudgingly took a seat in the open chair two rows ahead. There wasn't anyone sitting in that row. A lucky coincidence. Ethan and Connor take notice of the antisocial teen.
Dude, check out the new girl. She looks so mean. I dig it.
Kira? Dude, she's been in this class all semester.
No way. I would have noticed.
She literally just presented her project on erosion and sedimentary rocks yesterday. You even shouted, "Rock on, metal girl!"
Oh, yeah! Hey, did you get the joke, though?
Yes, Connor, I got the joke.
Connor rips off a piece of notebook paper and flicks it at Kira's ear. She turns around, the fury of God in her eyes. But Connor looks away, pretending not to know. He then looks back at Kira, acting surprised.
Oh man, I think that kid threw it.
Ethan punches Connor in the shoulder.
Dude, come on.
Kira turns back around to face the front of the class. Moments later, I enter the classroom. I'm wearing a business casual type outfit and my beard now shaped into a sharp goatee. I set my briefcase on my desk. I crack it open to see the red, yellow, and blue dino gems I had found the night prior sitting in three little compartments. I look at the class and prepare my first words to my new students. This is a new me. One pretty accustomed to starting anew, time after time.
Good afternoon, class. My name's Tommy, but you can call me Professor Oliver. Professor Salazar left me in charge of the curriculum he had planned for the rest of the semester, so we're gonna do that. Now, I know new teachers take some time getting used to, especially with me being the guy who was the template for the clone of the Green Ranger. Why don't I tell you a little bit about myself?
I then continue to talk to the class about my qualifications to teach and a little bit about my past life, the things that I can share anyway. While I talk, Connor starts throwing pencil eraser toppers at Kira. She turns around quietly, but angrily.
Cut it out!
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not me!
Connor holds back his laughter. A little five-year-old.
It is him. I'm so sorry about this. Dude, cut it out. I want to hear what this new professor has to say.
Grow up. This is a community college, not a preschool.
Yes, ma'am.
Connor looks at Ethan and laughs smugly.
Ma'am?
I wrap up my college experience with the class and start assigning pages for them to turn to in their textbooks.
Okay, guys, I need you all to open up your textbooks to page 131, chapter 18. Fossils.
Connor turns to Ethan with a smirk.
Okay, he's done with the recap.
Connor flicks another eraser at Kira, It misses, but hits her water bottle. She says nothing.
Don't.
Connor flicks another one at her. This time it hits. Right on the back of her head.
Bro!
What is your problem, loser?
Excuse me, you three. Do you know where you are?
These chuckleheads keep throwing erasers at me!
I was trying to get him to stop.
That wasn't me, I swear!
What are you, five?
Okay, guys, cut it out.
As I say this, my briefcase lights start glowing. I renovated the case from the old Thunder Morpher containment unit I had in the attic. It kept the stones intact and their energy signatures in check. I've learned a few things with Billy over the years, let's just say. There are three little LED lights that I had programmed into the handle to light up when a compatible operator is nearby. They're now glowing red, blue, and yellow, respectively. The stones are now in proximity to their host.
You guys, see me after class.
No, wait. Come on. I have practice at 3. I can't miss it. I'll stop.
What? I didn't even do anything!
Ethan sits still in embarrassment.
No? Talking and messing with each other during my lesson isn't doing anything, huh?
He was throwing...
I was not!
After class. Okay?
The three students instantly clam up, and the class continues. Later that afternoon, the three teens are sitting in the first three seats in the empty classroom.
You suck.
Well, at least I don't.
I cut off Connor's dumb joke when I enter the room.
Hey, sorry guys. I had to use the bathroom real quick.
Professor, look, I'm so sorry about all of this. Connor was throwing stuff at her and I was trying to get him to stop.
Wow. Way to narc, dude.
You are really just trying to drive the point home, aren't you?
Look, guys, as much as we need to talk about your behavior in my class, that's not why I asked you to come here.
Connor, Kira, and Ethan look to each other, and then to me, confused.
What? Then why am I missing practice? Dude, today was really important.
I look at them and bring out the briefcase. The three colored LED lights are glowing consistently and steadily, confirming my suspicions.
What is that?
Suddenly, everything Trent had spoken to her about during lunch had made a little more sense. She was starting to realize who she was speaking to.
I don't know if you guys were watching the news last night, but there was a broadcast that the Pentagon received. Something's coming.
I opened the case.
These dino gems.
Dino gems?
Ethan and Kira share a nervous look with each other.
Yes. They need a host. Like I said, something is coming. And I think you three might be the key to stopping it.
I step back and pull up my sleeve to reveal a gauntlet with a black gem in the center. I tap it with two fingers, and my armor forms around my body. Connor, Ethan, and Kira are now all sharing the same nervous look. Everything starts to go blurry. The three teens start to fade away. The classroom turns into a reddish, fiery vortex, almost like a black hole. I hear morphing calls.
Dino Thunder! Power up! Ha!
Tyranno Power! Red Ranger!
Tricera Power! Blue Ranger!
Terra Power! Yellow Ranger!
Brachio Power! Black Ranger!
Drago Power! White Ranger!
Fighting. I hear pain.
Must destroy the Dino Thunder Rangers!
Within the hour after waking up after that dream, I rushed to the only person I knew who might understand what I saw.
A strange dream indeed, Tommy. But a dream nonetheless.
I don't think it was just a dream, Zordon. It was too real, and I looked up the names of the kids I saw. They're real kids living in Reefside right now. But they're like 7 or 8 years old. The hits I got were from their parents' social media pages. I spent a while looking this stuff up.
Fascinating. It would seem that you are having premonitions of some kind. Dreaming of your future. Perhaps this is a side effect of your time in the Morphing Grid.
Yeah. Saba saw my other future as Draken. Maybe I'm seeing my future as it will be now?
One possible future. The future is ever-changing. Something we have learned all too well this last year.
Yeah. But it's been almost a year. Why did I have this dream now?
I do not know. Perhaps the recharging of your powers caused it. But if you have a dream like this again, know that I will always be here to talk.
Thanks, Zordon. I may not have always shown it, especially when I'm not myself, but you're the closest thing to a dad I've ever had. Sorry if that's weird.
And you, Rangers, are the nearest thing to children I have ever had.
Later that morning, I head to class on campus and bump into an old face.
Whoa!
Oh, sorry.
Hey! Kat!
Tommy, hey.
We heard you were coming to college here. Brave of you.
Tommy, look.
Hey, no, listen. If anyone knows what it's like to do terrible things under control and duress, that's me. I still have terrible nightmares about what I did as the Green Ranger. I think it's good you're able to start your life again. Just, why here?
I can't get my life back on track by running away and hiding. I need to face what I did and make up for it. This was where I wanted to go to school anyway, and the fact you all are here is just a small part of why I came. I need to face you, show you that wasn't really me.
I understand. More than you know.
I better get to class.
Oh, yeah, sure, sorry. I'll see you around.
Count on it. Bye, Tommy.
See ya. Wow. One possible future, huh? Well, I better keep telling myself that or Kim might get hurt. No. Me and Kat? No, we can't. I mean, no way. All I know is that if this is my destiny, then I'm a pretty lucky guy. And once and for all, one thing. A Power Ranger.
Power Rangers the audio drama. Flash Forward. Narrated by Joey Sorlis. Written by Joey Sorlis and Carl Dutton. Starring Josh Portillo as Connor McKnight. Christian Marte as Ethan James. Sydney Page as Kira Ford. Justin Cabanting as Trent Hernandez. Keith Seymour as Zordon. Natalie Baran as Catherine Hillard. And Joey Sorlis as Tommy Oliver. With music by Declan Gilgallon and royalty-free sourced music. Produced and edited by Joey Sorlis.